you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. Tonight, looking at verses 7 through 21. First John 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's interesting, in just reading this and after singing these hymns about the Trinity, how just naturally it flows out, this belief in the Trinity that's not being explained but just assumed, talking about the Father, talking about the Son, talking about the Spirit. John simply talks about the three persons of the Trinity without trying to explain it, but clearly believing that we have one God who exists in these three persons. Let's pray. Father, we do ask for your grace and mercy again this evening as we study your word. We pray that you would be with us, that you would speak to us, give us an understanding of this portion of your word, such simple language, such a simple message, and yet we ask that you would indeed use it in our lives to sanctify us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The longest love letter ever written was the work of a French painter in the year 1875. His name was Marcel, and the love of his life was a woman named Magdalene. The letter that he wrote simply contained one sentence: I love you. Written in French, of course. But that one sentence was written 1,875,000 times. 1,000 times for every year in the date, 1875. Marcel didn't actually write the letter himself. He had a secretary do it for him. But he wasn't content just to let the secretary do the work. Marcel dictated the letter. Word for word, 1,875,000 times. And had the secretary repeat it back each line. Some of you may be thinking John is being a little repetitious as he's talking about loving one another. Once again, he tells us, love one another. And perhaps you're thinking, well, John, haven't you already said that in this little letter? The word love as a noun appears 18 times in these five short chapters of 1 John, more than any other book in the New Testament. More than the Gospel of John. More than all four Gospels put together. The noun love only occurs 8 times in all four Gospels. And yet it occurs 18 times here in 1 John. The word love as a verb occurs 28 times in 1 John, more than any other New Testament book except for John's Gospel, which is 16 chapters longer. Love is clearly an essential element of the Christian life to the Apostle John. And he never tires to tell us to love one another. Here in chapter 4, this is really his most forceful statement about love. Because we are God's children, because we have been born again and now live in God and God lives in us, we are to love one another. The first thing that John tells us is something about God's essential nature. He says God is love. And only four times in the New Testament are we given such a statement that describes God's essential being, such a clear statement as to who God is. John 4:24 is one of those statements. God is spirit. You know, God is not a physical being like you and me. He transcends the material world as a pure, independent, personal spirit. God is spirit. That's a statement about his essential being. Another one of the statements is 1 John 1:5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. There's nothing false, nothing deceptive, nothing untrue about God. He is light. He is true. Another of these statements is Hebrews 12:29. God is consuming fire. Not a consuming fire, but he is consuming fire. The Holy One of Israel, who hates sin and before whom nothing sinful can stand. And then we have this statement, 1 John 4:8, God is love. It's a statement about his essential being, who God is. God is love. God in his very nature is love. Now, what does it mean to us to say that God is love? Well, it means that God is the source of our love. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love comes from God. That's where love comes from. God's essential being. This ability to put other people first and to serve them comes from God himself. We love because he first loved us. But it also means that God will show his love. Verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God is love, and because he is love, his love will become visible. It will show itself. You'll be able to see it. It will appear. He demonstrates his love. Love is not just a feeling. It's not just a frame of mind. It's not just having good intentions. It's all of that. But primarily, love is an act of the will that shows itself by doing something for the one that is loved. And you tell your wife that you love her. But you demonstrate that love by doing something to show your love. Love is demonstrated. It is shown. It becomes visible. God is love. God shows His love by sending His Son to save us. And then to say that God is love is to say that God is sovereign in His love. God is free in His love. Nobody forces God to love us. There's nothing that forces God. It's part of His essential nature that God is love, and so He's sovereign in His love. He's free to love as He chooses. No one forces Him to love us. He's under no obligation to do anything good toward us. Verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God doesn't love us because we first loved Him. God doesn't love us because we invited Him into our hearts. God doesn't love us because we're trying our best to be good. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. God takes the initiative. He freely loves us. He loved us when we didn't care a thing about Him. Romans 5:8, we referred to it this morning. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, in rebellion against Him, Christ died for us. That's how God demonstrates His love. He doesn't wait for us to start loving Him, choosing Him, praying to Him, serving Him, and then He decides, well, I'll love these people. He loves first. And He demonstrates His love while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:10, when we were God's enemies. You know, we didn't love God. We were enemies. We were at war with God. We wanted to live our own lives without Him. We wanted nothing to do with Him. But God is love. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. The second thing that John tells us here is that God changes us by His love. God is love. Because of God, He does. He changes us. He transforms us as people. Because God is love, and because we experience that love through Jesus Christ, we can never be the same. I mean, His love is so powerful that when we encounter it, when it envelops us, it brings about a radical change. We cannot be the same. God's love moves us from death to life. You know, John says anything in these verses that we've read tonight, it's there's this real connection between God's love and life. I mean, that's a great theme. Both of these are great themes in 1 John, but here he really begins to make this point. There's a connection between God being love and God loving us, and then this experience of life. Verse 7, everyone who loves has been born of God. Verse 9, God shows His love in sending His Son that we might live through Him. Verse 12, if we love one another, God lives in us. Verse 13, we know that we live in Him and He in us. Verse 16, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. There's a very real connection between God's love and life. Jesus was standing in a graveyard one time at the mouth of a tomb, and inside was a man named Lazarus. Lazarus had been sick. Lazarus died. Lazarus has now been dead for 4 days. And John describes Jesus' emotional response with what we know as the shortest verse in the Bible. And Jesus wept. What did people say when they saw him weep? See how he loved him. And the very next thing that you see is Lazarus coming out of the tomb. See how Jesus loved him. And then here's life. God's love moves us from death to life. Because God is love, that love transforms us, it changes us, it causes us to be born again, giving us new life. God's love moves us from darkness to light. Verse 13. This is how we know that we live in Him, and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. The love that God has for us, God gives us His Spirit. The Spirit convinces us that the Father sent Jesus into the world to be that atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Spirit produces faith in us so that we confess Jesus. We move from darkness to light. We move from being ignorant to the truth. The light begins to shine because of the presence of the Spirit, and that's a manifestation. It's a working of God's love in our hearts. And then God's love moves us from fear to faith. Halfway through verse 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God moves us from fear to faith. If you break the law and you're guilty, and you walk into court and you stand before the judge, and you know that he has the power to punish you, a fine, prison term, death sentence, whatever it is, what are you going to feel? I mean, you know you're guilty, so what do you feel? It's fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The Bible says that we're guilty. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that sin will be punished. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says there will be a day of judgment, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And what might you feel? Fear. We're guilty. Punishment. But John says perfect love casts out fear. When we know that God is love, and that God loves us, and that God has shown His love for us by sending Jesus Christ into the world to take our punishment, to die in our place, and when we embrace Jesus Christ by faith and confess Him as Lord, we know everything's going to be all right on that day. Yes, I'm guilty, but somebody's already been punished in my place. Perfect love casts out that fear of punishment. God is love. God comes and changes us by His love. We move from death to life, from darkness to light, from fear to faith. Now we get to the point of what John really wants to make here, and that is that God commands us to love. God is love, God changes us by His love, but God commands us to love. Because God is love, because God is changing us, We are now to love one another. I think it's interesting that John doesn't say, since God has loved you, you are to love God. He says, since God loved you, you are to love one another. It's to be passed on. It's not just responding. Yes, we are to love God because he first loved us. But that's not what John says. God loved us. We're to love one another. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We show our love for God by doing what he commands. And what he commands is to love one another. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. John began verse 7 with the command, dear friends, let us love one another. And now he closes verse 21 with the same command. Whoever loves God must love his brother. It's a command. We're not to wait until we feel like it. We're not to wait until some emotion overwhelms us and we feel like doing it. We're not to wait until somebody does something nice for us and then we feel obligated to do something nice back. You ever give somebody a present and you know, just for no reason, and what do? They give you a present back. They don't understand grace. You know, they feel obligated to do that. We're not to wait until somebody does something nice for us first. We're commanded to love one another. And it's a command that's addressed to our will. It's something that we choose to do. Now, practically, tangibly, what is love like this? What's it going to look like? Jerry Bridges has an excellent book entitled The Practice of Godliness. It's kind of a study on the fruit of the Spirit, but he expands it to other character qualities that are found in the New Testament. There's a chapter on love, and in that chapter, Jerry Bridges rephrases the virtues that we find in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter. And he changes them into motivational statements. He rephrases what Paul says and puts them into motivational statements. This is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And then here's the way Jerry Bridges puts these same statements into motivational statements. I am patient with you because I love you and want to forgive you. I am kind to you because I love you and want to help you. I do not envy your possessions or your gifts because I love you and want you to have the best. I do not boast about my attainments because I love you and want to hear about yours. I am not proud because I love you and care about your feelings. I am not self-seeking because I love you and want to meet your needs. I am not easily angered by you because I love you and want to overlook your offenses. Kind of sounds like mercy. I do not keep a record of your wrongs because I love you and love covers a multitude of sins. Just take those statements that you find in 1 Corinthians 13 and put them in that sense and explore what it means. What is that actually going to look like in my life as I start maybe tonight at home and then Monday morning going out, encountering different people? How can I not just say that I love other people, other believers, but how can I actually exercise that and practice this love? 1,875,000 times. Marcel wanted the love of his life to get the point. I love you. And God wants you to get the point. And so over and over in the Bible, we find this simple message repeated: love one another. God is love. That's who God is in His essential being. God changes us by His love. He transforms us. And God calls us. He commands us to love one another. Let's pray.